Come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, thanking you that your grace is enough. Your cross was sufficient. Your resurrection is more than enough for everything in our lives. And we give you glory and honor. I pray, God, a special anointing on Chris. Today, would your spirit just flow through him in a mighty way. Spirit of God, release the word that you have for us again today. And just continue to inspire our hearts to draw closer to you and to walk in the light of your face. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Hope you're doing well, enjoying the lovely weather. I just appreciate the worship team and Andy for what you guys have done this morning already. This morning I want to... Actually, I'm going to put up a couple of photos here, and I want you to see if you can predict what I would like to talk about this morning. So here we have a large ship on water. And the next one? The horse, her name is Lucky. It's not a very nice photo of her, unfortunately, but I like it because my son is in it. So next, here we have a forest fire. How many people think you know what I would like to talk about this morning? Put your hand up. Don't be shy. You got a few? Okay. All right. Well, maybe the next photo will clarify that for you. This morning I'd like to talk to you about taming the tongue. And you can take it down before we scare the children. If you want to turn to my main text, will be James chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Some fun facts about the tongue. Each tongue has a unique pattern, similar to a fingerprint. If you lose your tongue, we can maybe find it for you again. An average tongue has 2,000, 10,000 taste buds, which die off and regenerate every 10 days. So if you don't like olives, just keep working on it. The tongue is one of the fastest healing tissues in the body. And then another strange one here I put in for, hopefully for your humor. A traditional Tibetan greeting is sticking your tongue out at each other. So if you'd all turn to your neighbor, and we won't do that this morning. But I guess it comes from the 9th century. An unpopular king had a black tongue, and after his death, the Tibetan people would stick out their tongue to prove they weren't the king reincarnated. So as you know, the Bible has a lot of things to say about our tongue and the taming of it. So let's read James chapter 3 here, verses 1 to 3, and then we're going to work our way through that. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. They are so large and driven by strong winds. And they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we bless people who are made in the image of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. In verses 1 and 2, James is talking about the danger of being a teacher, the danger of being of influencing people with your words. And often the position of a teacher is public, and once a word leaves your mouth, they haven't made a vacuum cleaner that can suck it back. It's out there now, and it's been heard. And it's affected, and if it is misspoken, now you need to deal with that. And God, James is warning us that people of influence, people who teach, will be judged with a greater strictness. Misspoken words, unintended meanings. Hurting can hurt a vulnerable person, and also you can maybe you might end up promoting a doctrine that's not sound. James is being honest about our humanity and how quickly we can take missteps. And then he's saying that if you can figure out how to tame your tongue, then you can bring your whole body in subjection. You can control your whole body. But how many of us have actually achieved truly taming our tongue and having full control of what we say? Verses 3 to 4, he's talking about the horse and putting a bridle into the mouth of a horse, and obviously that small bit in a horse's mouth, and if my son would have had a bit and he would have had the experience, he could have taken Lucky for a walk. Even though he, I don't know what he weighs, 30 pounds or something. And that's a big horse. And yet he, if he had the skills, he could have controlled that horse with that bit. The tongue is directional. It gives direction to our lives. But it also has the ability to completely derail our lives. With your tongue, you can lose your job. With your tongue, you can destroy a relationship. With your tongue, you can lose your integrity. Things you type online, the message you send, all those types of things. With our tongue, we can burn down our entire life. Yet it is so small, and yet it is disproportionately powerful. Verses 5 to 6, James is saying how the tongue is a small member, and boasting of great things. And then he gives a description of how a small spark can start a massive fire. And there's stories of people who have been out camping, or a driver has thrown a cigarette out a window, and from that, acres and acres have been completely destroyed, burnt to a crisp. And it takes years to recover from that. It takes years for the growth to come back, and you have this like charred wasteland of what used to be. And maybe there's people here this morning who are living with words that have been spoken to you, and from parents, from a teacher, from friends, from your peer group, whatever words that maybe still ring in your ears today. And Satan loves to take those words and drag them out and beat you down with them. In your moments of strength, you can maybe resist, but often in our times of weaknesses, those words of that are demeaning and put us down can hit us yet again. So here he's again referring to the tongue being directional and holding the power to destroy not only other lives, but it can destroy our own lives as well. And how strong he says some of the things is like it's amazing to me. Like he's making the statement here that the words, some of these words that we say are coming from hell itself and are set on fire by hell. So the curses we speak to other people, they are coming from hell. And it reminds me of Peter. Jesus asked him who he is, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then, I'm not sure how much time passed, but as far as the story there, the next story we have about Peter is Jesus saying he needs to die, and Peter's rebuking Jesus for that, and then Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. So, right there, Peter spoke such beautiful truth, and then he turned around and he spoke against what Jesus was going to be doing, the truth that Jesus was sharing. I found a couple of quotes. Every source of evil in the world finds an ally in an untamed tongue. If you look at history, there's been a tremendous amount of destruction done by people who have given their tongue to Satan. Another quote, having toyed with our thoughts, played with our words, we will follow with our deeds, and our whole life is set on fire, and the source of the fire is hell itself. Having toyed with our thoughts, having not brought our thoughts into subjection to Christ, we play around with our words that we say, and we follow with our deeds. And our whole life is set on fire, and the source of the fire is hell itself. Maybe you've had a season of that in your life where your words have destroyed your life, and it looks like a forest fire went through, and what was left of relationships, of beauty, of value in your life is lost, and it's just these charred stumps of what was. And that takes a lot of rebuilding to build that back. Verses 7 and 8. James is talking about how we have, as humanity has learned to tame every kind of beast. If you've been to zoos or any seen lions and all sorts of powerful animals that are respecting their trainers and doing what they're told, maybe you've watched, forget what the, not SeaWorld, the other one, but I remember as a little boy going and watching this like this water show, and there's this killer whale, and this person got in the water, and I think it was a whale, I don't know what it was, and the whale pushed the person on his nose and his feet and then jumped and sent the person flying through the air. It's amazing what people who, with the patience and skill, have trained animals to do. And in spite of all that, our little tongue here, most of us have not figured out how to train that. And that's the point that James is trying to make here in 7 and 8. Verses 9 to 12, the last part of this passage. We bless with our tongue, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. So this morning we stood here and we worshiped. We declared the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the beauty of our God, the need for God. We worshiped Him. And how many of you this week use your tongue to defame or put down or speak down to somebody, harsh with your spouse or your child? What have you been saying this week about your political leaders? All these people are made in the image of God. So how can we worship God and then turn around and curse someone who bears the image of God? James just simply says, these things ought not to be so. And then he gives, he touches the natural world for some examples that you can't, a tree that produces apples can't grow oranges. Like you can't, that doesn't work together. And as Christians, this should not be found among us, that we use our tongue to worship God and then also to demean the image of God to the people around us. So where does that leave us? Should we say nothing at all? Should we stop talking? Should we be introverts? I don't think so. I'm a little concerned that after the service it might be very quiet. People will scurry out, or no one's going to want to share afterwards. But I think we know that that's not a healthy place to be. And our tongue, while James is pointing out the dangers of our words, the opposite is true as well, that our words can be used for tremendous blessing. The tongue is powerful and capable of great evil, but the reverse is true. The tongue can be used for great good, for healing, encouragement, speaking truth, and combating the lies of Satan. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat it will eat its fruits, or those who love it will eat its fruits. Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only as such is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. He says there, as fits the occasion, and that's something that that sometimes takes some time and maturity and learning to essentially read a room. Most of us enjoy humor. Some of us are good with it. Some are not so good with it. But all of us have probably used it poorly. And so in all this, I don't want to promote, your personality should shine out, and humor is a powerful tool to lift the spirits of somebody, to ease tension, and to bring joy. But we need to learn to do it well and from a heart that desires the best in another person. You know, I just want to be personal here, and in not so distant past here, we had two meetings here at church, members' meetings regarding church building, and so I was involved with talking there and answering questions. And in both meetings, I went home and regretted things I said. I'm putting myself down here, and there's two brothers. I didn't ask permission to use their name, but I think they're okay with it because they look good in the story. So the first meeting, Derek has asked a question, and I responded very poorly. I was like, where did that come from? Like, that was just unnecessary for that moment of time. And why did I say that? Like, why didn't I just respond like nicely? I didn't understand. And then the last meeting, Dwayne asked a question. And again, out of the blue, I was sarcastic. And it was not appropriate, it was not fitting of the situation. And I just want to say that both of them were tender-hearted and forgiving. I connect with Derek later, and he was graciously forgave me. I know the last meeting was a Tuesday night because I was carrying garbage out to the end of the road, and I was thinking about this, and I was like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? I'll call Dwayne. I need to get this right. And he was very gracious, and I appreciate that. So we need to own it. We need to own when we speak poorly, when we get it wrong. And usually usually you know. Usually there's a check in your spirit. There's an ad that I'm not proud of that moment. And let's own it. Romans 3, 23 to 24. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we need to diagnose it. You know, I was wondering where those comments came from. They seemed like they came out of the blue. And what Jesus has an answer for me. Jesus tells me where they come from. And it's not an easy answer. Matthew 12, 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can make excuses for yourself and say, but I think if you're very honest and you really evaluate why you said what you said, I think this statement will be true, that it came out of the abundance of your heart. If you were stressed, you were upset, you were blaming the other person, whatever it was, but it came out of the abundance of your heart in that moment, and that's why you said what you said. And so own it, diagnose it. If we are serious about our words, we need to be serious about the condition and the abundance of our heart. Your tongue doesn't have an anger problem, your heart does. Your tongue doesn't have a gossip problem, your heart does. Your tongue does not have a jealousy problem, your heart does. Three, let's surrender it. Let's surrender our heart. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. For those of us who struggle with taming our tongue, maybe this could be a daily prayer for us, that we surrender our mouth to the Lordship of Jesus to be used by him. Romans 6:13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. So as we're coming into the Christmas season and thinking about gift giving and that type of thing, maybe you need to gift your tongue to Jesus. Maybe that's your New Year's resolution. Proverbs 11:9, with his mouth the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge the righteous are delivered. 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. In 10:18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. How many times have I been guilty of this, in my communication or telling of a story, like how often do we spin the story slightly to maybe make ourselves look a little bit better or to just put somebody else down for self-promotion? As James says, these things ought not to be so. I'd like to speak to the men here. Words can injure and hurt as deeply as fists and often take longer to heal. I present the thought that harsh words are especially hurtful and damaging when coming from a man. This is especially true for husbands and fathers. God has entrusted husbands and fathers with the mantle of leadership in the home and the responsibility to be the protector of their wife and children and the sanctity of their home. So when a man with the God-given responsibility to lead and protect his family is doing the hurting, whose will protect them? Colossians 3:19-21 says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. The way we are harsh and provoking with our words is with our words. And my brothers, these things ought not to be so. Let us stop giving hell the use of our tongue. Own your failures, diagnose, and surrender. Let us be quick to repent and seek restoration. Let us not miss the opportunity to exemplify how to seek forgiveness, display humility, and servant leadership. How our children view us as fathers will deeply influence how they view their Heavenly Father. There's a real chance that some of us who have stood here and worshiped, saying commitments to God, before our head hits a pillow tonight, we'll curse someone made in the image of God, because we all fall, don't we? James says we all stumble in many ways, and Jesus says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's Matthew 12. But I'm privileged to tell you this morning that your Heavenly Father is committed to you. He is committed to the cleansing of the hearts of His children, changing us from the image of His, changing us into the image of His Son. For what we have not, what we will be has not yet appeared. We shall see Him as He is, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. 1 John 3. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there's hope. James is very clear that on our own we do not have the strength, the ability to control our tongue. We certainly cannot sanctify our hearts, but we serve a Savior who is risen and victorious and who is able to do that for us. And it will probably not be something that happens overnight. It's a journey, and it takes work and effort and applying yourself and being honest with our failures and restoring relationships that we and people that we hurt with our words. The challenging thing about our words is that, I feel like, as I've been thinking about this, is that we need to. Like, sometimes you can say something to someone else, and you don't know it hurts them. Like, there's been times where I was giving somebody a hard time, and I found out later that I was actually hurting them. But in the moment, they were responding, like, I had no idea. But I still need to own that responsibility. And yet the reverse is true. How many times has someone spoken to you, and it really blessed you, and they walked away, and they have no idea to this day that what they said was so encouraging to you. So God can use our tongue in moments when we're trying to be intentional, in moments that we have no idea. And I just encourage us to strive to have pure hearts and have a heart that loves God and loves our neighbor and wants to see the best in other people. So if there's anyone here, just speaking personally, who has been hurt by my words, I just ask for your forgiveness and just repeat what the psalmist says. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As Brock saying this morning about Jesus, I just encourage you to run to Jesus, for He is strong. Jesus is strong in our weakness. And if you have pain from harsh words that have been spoken to you, I'm here to tell you that Jesus is kind and He has gentle words for you. God bless.